Welcome to La Liga Weekly. It's boring when the top two just win all the time. Every week, Real Madrid go top, Girona go back above them. Give someone else a chance, lads. How are the cash-strapped clubs like Barcelona supposed to compete? I see today that Deco wants to sign a midfielder from the Premier League because he thinks there are bargains to be had there. Dear Mr. Laporta, you might need some bigger levers. Now, are we absolutely sure that Quique Sanchez-Flores has never been the Sevilla coach before? Apparently not, but he is now on a deal to 2025. There's more chance of it being sacked and rehired before 2025 than seeing that contract through to the end. Victor Orta is planning their January transfer business. What can possibly go wrong? Apparently, they're looking for some experience. Yes, Diego Alonso barely made it past 2 months. Brought down by Getafe and their coach, Jose Bordalas, who turned down the Sevilla job 9 months and two managers ago. Another coach briefly employed by Sevilla, Marcelino, has brought the beautiful game to Villarreal, showing particular respect to Jude Bellingham. Adria Altamira is such a fan of Bellingham that he was keen to swap shirts while the game was still going on. Being booked for being fouled was also an honour paid to Frankie de Jong. Silly old Spanish refs, you'd never see something as stupid as that in the Premier League. Yes, the new social media battleground, our refs are worse than yours. A joy to the world, Rafa Benitez is Celta Vigo, won a match in La Liga for the first time since September the 1st. The man is a genius, a four-game unbeaten run, no fewer than three, count them, three goals scored in those four matches. Roll up, tickets available for the greatest show on earth. So thank you to the Patreon, patreon.com/LTEL. Got a question from Christian to kick it off. I'm just going to introduce Barry White, who's standing in for Terry Gibson.
Good man, that voice.
Yeah, well, temporarily. Terry's a bit under the weather, everybody, but here he is. Yes, just get ready for Christmas, Terry, to do, share it around. Bit of work just before Christmas, and then see all the family. And share our ailments as we do at Christmas time.
I got it from the family, unfortunately. Both grandkids have been ill. And I stepped in, my wife stepped in to babysit last week. And of course, I've got it.
Yes.
So I'll be fine. I'm traveling to Barcelona to work for La Liga. So a bit of a panic yesterday. My voice completely went, which isn't ideal when you're going out to talk about football and to do a podcast, but it's on the mend. So I'll be fine. I'll soldier through, John. Definitely.
very brave. Yeah. Christian,
I'll put my body on the line, as they say in football.
Christian wants to ask us a question. He says, "I hope you're both doing well." Christian's a Patreon, so yes, just send us a question on the chat thing that exists there. What do you both think about the appointment of Quique Sanchez-Flores? He can organise a team, as Christian points out. Is that what they needed?
Well, I like you. I'm glad you said, actually, has he not managed them before? Because I had to check as well. I was pretty sure he'd had a spell there, but he apparently hasn't. So it wasn't just you that thought that. I thought that as well. I'm glad you thought that. So I thought Diego Martinez was going to be the choice. He's been recently been sacked by Olympiacos. He's been linked with Sevilla. He has a Sevilla background in the past. And to be honest, I thought that was the obvious choice because it might have signalled a plan from a new sporting director who's taken over and brought in Diego Alonso. That didn't work. They rapidly sacked him after the game against Getafe. He didn't even get the chance to do the post-match interviews. He was done that quick. I'd love to see the mechanics of how that worked to the extent everybody walked down the tunnel and was hoisted out of the changing room and a taxi waiting for him. It must have been so quick. So and they've moved quickly to bring in Quique Sanchez-Flores. I don't see that as a long-term plan. I see that as a plan to rescue their season.
Yeah.
And when I say rescue their season, I mean keep them up.
Yeah.
Because at this stage of the season, where teams are is where they deserve to be. We're not talking about 10 games in and teams could have a good run. Teams might have a bad run and start to improve. This is where you deserve to be. We're almost the halfway range and Sevilla are in banging trouble. So I guess the plan is to keep them up. The reason the contract is a bit longer is to entice a manager like Quique Sanchez-Flores. If they had said till the end of the season, he probably would have said no. So he had a little bit of power there. They need to do a lot of work in January. But it's not an inspiring choice. I kind of get it, but I don't think it's an inspiring choice in terms of a long-term plan
Yeah.
for Sevilla.
So therefore, it suggests who knows? We don't. We don't have the ear of the Sevilla hierarchy. So did they speak to Diego Martinez? We don't know. Is there not a project on a project to get, a manager whose his stock is a bit higher than Kike Sanchez Flores? I guess it's only a bit though, isn't it? Because his last couple of jobs haven't been great. So I don't know. Does it look like there's no plan? I mean, there's not a lot of money to spend. There's almost no money to spend, unless, as we were discussing with the patrons of the day, unless someone goes out, unless they bring some money in. None of the experienced players on big contracts are going anywhere, are they? This in January.
No, and the assets are few and far between. I
Yeah.
think the main asset, as we mentioned to the Patriots, was En-Nesyri. It's probably the biggest asset. Do you want to lose him? I think Diego Alonso, we have to evaluate what he did.
Yeah.
It didn't look any different to Mendilibar.
No.
I mean, it was a continuation of 4-3-3.
Yeah.
Players, lots of crosses into the box, no, not enough players in the penalty area. It just didn't look any different to the previous
I mean, he was
coach.
literally there 2 months. Is that fair to sack a guy that quickly?
A panic sets in.
Mm.
And I think ultimately it was the manner of the defeat against Getafe
Yeah.
that probably hastened the pressure and the decision.
Yeah.
Because when you lose at home, I mentioned in the Patrons podcast, it was a must-win game for Sevilla because Getafe have done well this season.
Yeah.
They don't have a good away record. Most of their points have come at home. And it's a game where you're thinking, Sevilla going into it, they should be winning.
Yeah.
To be thumped 3-0 comprehensively, and it looked shambolic in the
Yeah.
second half and towards the end. I kind of, with 20 minutes to go, I'm thinking this is he's run his race. That's it now. The crowd, I have to say, the crowd were magnificent. They always are at Sevilla. They've got lots of they can have a lot to moan about this season and last season for half of it. But it's very rarely they turn on the players. They're quite defiant. They step it up even more, the support, but then they let you know at the final whistle. And you look to the stadium, there's very few people in there at the end. So yeah, I think that's that all the signs that the hierarchy needed. I'm imagining that Victor Orta is under pressure. I mean, he was under pressure taking over for Monchi anyway. Monchi didn't leave him with a great squad of players, but it was his choice, Diego Alonso. So he's probably feeling the pressure as well. The supporters turned on him. They're turning on the president. The club is shambolic at the moment, and they're looking for someone to blame, and Alonso is the easy culprit.
Just a ridiculously expensive, chaotic way of going, isn't it? Appointing a manager for 2 months. I know, I mean, he literally didn't have any transfer business, did he? So, in that respect, it's not like they brought in players on that manager's specification. I suppose you could say they've saved them the trouble there. They literally could have brought Mendilibar back, couldn't they? And
Yeah,
pretend
I
it hadn't
mean,
happened.
that was the risk, bringing in a manager that hadn't managed in Europe before
Yeah.
and bringing him into a league where he didn't have any experience of managing. That was the risk, and it is always a risk. And Victor Orta was responsible for that choice. It was his decision, his choice. And when it's going as bad as it has been going, then the pressure is on
Yeah.
someone who made that decision from above. From the supporters, so I as I say, with 20 minutes to go in that game, I knew we weren't
Yeah.
going to be seeing Diego. I was already thinking, who can they get?
Yeah.
And I must admit, I didn't think of Kike Sanchez Flores, but he does what he does. I
Yeah.
mean, he's not a spectacularly successful manager. He's had moments. Getafe was a rapid change when he left and Bordalás came in. It was a big, massive improvement. So he needs to be at the top of his game. He's pretty good at managing experienced players, so that will help. And there's a lot of those at Sevilla. But he needs to give them a jolt. He needs to, an instant improvement. I'm looking at their next game, which is tonight, against away to Granada.
Yeah.
Like I said, against Getafe, they've got to be winning that. Sevilla have got to be winning at Granada. But you know, Barcelona struggled with Granada. Granada are not terrible, despite having so few points. So he needs to get off to a good start. A good start is a win, not a draw.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the league table as we're doing this podcast, doing the prep for it. So many draws.
Yeah.
So many
mad.
Draws.
Absolutely mad, isn't it? Yeah.
So many games where managers are kind of feeling that they're successful if they don't get beat.
Mm.
And Bordalas is probably the exception. We can talk about the top six, top seven, top eight. They win more than they, you know, the others do. But below that, it's almost an example of, well, if we don't get beat, I'm okay.
Yeah.
And Bordalas is the exception.
Yeah.
Maybe Pimiento as well, Las Palmas. They go for it a bit more. And look at the success they've had. They're so severe. I like many teams in the league. Can't afford draws. They can't afford to draw Granada. They have to win.
Yeah.
And
on that game, I thought the second handball was ludicrous.
Yeah, I feel for the player. He's a young player. He's trying to establish himself in the team. He didn't mean to do either of them. It's just unfortunate that
the first one I sort of get because his arm's away from his body. The second one, he gets headed against him backwards from a yard away.
Yeah.
And he's like, what could you possibly do to not handball it?
Yeah,
but, you know, it was for 3-0. I thought Greenwood played well. I thought...
Excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they look... It's not often I say this about Getafe. They look like they enjoyed the game. Normally, it's endurance. It's that type of team, isn't it? That type of coach. It's all about hard work and you know, it's. But in this game, they played some decent football and they enjoyed the fact that they got an early lead and they enjoyed the fact the pressure was on Sevilla and they made the most of it. It was hostile environment for a home player. And Getafe thoroughly enjoyed it. Mason McGreenwood was excellent. I mean, one of the best individual performances of this weekend's round of fixtures.
Yeah. And we're into the next round of fixtures already, by the way. So by the time you're listening to this, we might have started all over again. But we waited to do Girona because they played Monday night. And you know what really struck me about this game, Terry? Just how you thought, oh, Girona will win this one. And they did.
Yeah.
And it was just like, yeah, okay, tick. And it's how far have they come that you're sort of watching a Girona game, think, oh, yeah, they're bound to win.
It's ludicrous, isn't it? It really is. And you look at this, if we at the start of the season looked at this fixture, it's 50-50. And it's 50-50 with lots of other teams in that we expected them to be in and around. You know, if they were playing Celta Vigo, 50-50, Osasuna, Rayo, you know, those teams, Getafe, you wouldn't have thought, oh, but I agree with you going into that game last night. And I'm still astonished every game they play, how good they are.
Yeah.
With that group of players, with a manager who's been okay up until this season. And it just goes to show the impact self-belief and confidence has on any sports person. And in particularly in football, when you're a team group and you just feel like you're invincible. It didn't happen often for me now and then, but never certainly for half a season. It didn't, in the league campaign, it never happened. You know, you might have a spell of games where you five, six games where you're all in good form and everything's going in the right direction and you feel like you're going to win games. But then you always came to a game where you thought, this one's going to be a tough one. But Girona just knocking everybody over. It's astonishing. It's a lovely story. They're great to watch. They have a system of play that serves them well. That it's like a 3-4-2-1 loosely. But they do get, I mean, Gutierrez and Jan Couto, the wing backs. Couto was one of the highest attacking players for Girona in that match.
Yeah.
I mean, he was right up the pitch. He was as high as, you know, the rest of the, he was up there alongside, he was ahead of Paul too.
Yeah.
And Savio, and almost alongside Dobbik, who's they've got a goal scorer. They share the goals around the team, but Dobbik is the focal point.
How good is he?
He's getting better every week now. I mean, it's allegedly they paid 6 million for him, which is a club record fee. been worth every penny of that. His hold-up play is good, works the channels. And like the rest of his teammates, John, he's just full of confidence. I mean, I wouldn't have had him down. The first two or three games I saw, I thought, well, he looks a big, strong lad. He can hold the ball up. I didn't recognise him as a 10-goal striker before the half-season break. So he's just an example of the... I mean, I'm looking at Daley Blin. He looks looks like prime Paolo Maldini at the back. And it's one of the things I do like. When they play at the back, Cazzaniga's comfortable with the ball at his feet. They play out the back, but they play quickly. They're not a team that have half a dozen passes. This is when it's 0-0. Across the back three, you know, taking their times, left back, left side, centre back, back to the centre back, out the other side, back again, back again. As soon as they get it, those back three, they're looking to play into midfield or run the ball in midfield. And from then on, it's just free-flowing, attractive football to watch. As I say, Gutierrez and Yankuto are influential. They're fabulous. And I'm looking at the gap now between them and other teams that were chasing the title, chasing a top four finish, and they're just relentless. No one's getting any closer. And the gaps are significant now in terms of not only the top four, but the third. And fourth.
Yeah. And the one team in the way that is ruined, potentially.
Unfortunately for Girona.
Yes. It is, of course, Real Madrid, who put in a very good performance against, I thought, Terry, a very aggressive Villarreal side. Obviously, there's a big black mark against this game in Alaba's injury, isn't there?
Yeah.
Let's just talk about him first, and then we'll get on to the game. So the third serious knee ligament injury of the season for a Real Madrid player. I mean, you're not a medical, you're not a sports scientist, so we don't know if it's just, you know, bad luck, bad coincidence. Are they, given what's happened to the squad, given that I thought they had a slightly thin squad in that area, certainly up front and at the back potentially anyway, they're going to have to go and do something, aren't they, in the transfer market with Militao and Alaba now out for the season?
Well, just in terms of numbers, I think, unless they pull up a young kid that we haven't seen too much of, Tchouaméni can play centre-back. That's another option for Ancelotti. Nacho is dependable, but it's not ideal. Alaba, Militao possibly would be the first choice pairing.
Yeah.
So at the start of the season, the same possibly, definitely, I think that would have been the first two centre-halves on the list for Ancelotti. So to lose both of them in one season before the halfway mark is a massive blow. It's a shame. There's echoes of Leicester City with Girona. And the fact that when Leicester won the league, the other teams were poor. You know, you looked at the other teams, the contenders that year. It was only Spurs who put up a fight, and then that deteriorated before the end of the season. So although Leicester get all the plaudits, other teams failed. And this year, the same is happening in La Liga, apart from, and you said, the one name is Real Madrid. So they're hot on the heels of Girona. So that is going to be an issue. Real Madrid are there to stay, I think, this season. They're still my favourites to win the league now. But it is a problem. And I'm not a sports scientist, I'm not a doctor, but surely this has to tell us, and everybody, not just Real Madrid, that footballers are playing too much football. And I think that is, it's not just the Real Madrid injuries, it's injuries throughout, everywhere you look. You know, I watched La Liga, you know, obviously. I watched Premier League, there's players missing left, right and centre in those games. There's too many injuries. And when you look at how squads are built, you can't cover all the possibilities. It's impossible. But how big a squad do you need to keep people happy, to say, you're not my first two choices, but you might be third or fourth? And that's possibly what's needed. So I just think that the football...
But you've got limits on squad sizes as well, haven't you?
Exactly.
So you can't have 30 first-team players signed up, can you? So
just in case. And players willing to do that job. So it is difficult. Are they going to do anything in January? I would imagine a loan player, possibly.
Hard to get a good lone defender, though, isn't it? Because who's sitting around not playing? Who's good enough to play for Real Madrid?
Exactly. So, you know, Nacho is the obvious one to play now. Then after that, as I say, Tchouaméni can play now. So are you going to get any better than Nacho and Tchouaméni? Is it just a case of getting another number in? Probably, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah. Right, so the performance, I mean, not blaming Villarreal for Alaba's injury, but they were really aggressive, weren't they? It was as if Marcelino had said to them, listen, no team of mine is going out there and getting pushed around by Real Madrid. Go out there, grab a shirt.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that at all. Yeah. I think when you're a new man, the manner of the defeat against Real Sociedad instigated that.
Yeah.
His attitude was, that's never going to happen again by our manager here. So it had to be. It was obvious it was going to be like that. Mm. You're playing against one of the best teams in the league, one of the best teams in Europe. So you're not on the level.
Mm.
So you have to be aggressive. Did they cross the line? I don't think so, to be honest. I think it was just, it didn't suit them.
Mm.
They didn't play their game. Yeah. They weren't a match for Real Madrid in any way, shape or form. Despite getting back to 2-1, and that was unlikely at the time, and then Real Madrid just stepped up a gear again and went away from them. So it was a dominant performance for Real Madrid. And as I say, that is the only worry for Girona, is that it's not just Real Madrid. I think it's a really good Real Madrid and a Madrid that are playing really well.
Mm.
And whoever comes into the team, Bellingham is, I mean, him and Girona are just a ridiculous stories this year.
Yeah.
Not only did he score, he played fantastically well. I was concerned he was on the verge of getting sent off, I have to be honest. But Ancelotti did save him from that by substituting him about 10 minutes to go. Brahim Diaz is sensational.
Excellent.
Footballer.
Yeah.
Dynamic. And I love the goal. I love the goal because it's one of those skills that we don't see anymore, where the ball's played into the striker. And instead of him holding it up and laying it off, he got it. His first thought was to turn on the halfway line. Completely catches the centre-back out, surprise. And then the run was brilliant after that, and the finish. And it was one of those where you're thinking, go and score, because it deserved the goal. Yeah. How many of those runs do we see where we see it, you know, a tame finish, a wayward finish? But that was a brilliant, brilliant goal. And he's been a massive bonus. To the extent you're wondering, well, he has to play more now. I mean, he's gone ahead of Hossulu. He can be busy up front. That goal was of a centre forward with the ball into his feet, turning on the halfway line. It wasn't a winger. So he's a brilliant young footballer, and we're going to see lots more of him, I think.
Yeah.
And all the other players that played, Modric was,
yeah, was excellent,
off the scale again. Yeah. Toni Kroos was brilliant. Valverde was brilliant. You know, they were superb the other night. And they have been recently, despite the setbacks. But the Alaba one is a crushing blow.
Valencia 1, Barcelona 1. So 16 shots for Barca, a 3.24 XG. Xavi was fairly happy. But it's points dropped again, isn't it? And they've fallen further behind Girona and Real Madrid. So soft defending on the goal for Guillamon, I thought. But it wasn't disaster. It wasn't a disastrous performance, was it, from Barca?
No, it was a bit of a surprise, the level of Valencia's performance, to be honest. And it that comes from the fact that the good start to the season has created, and now they look quite ordinary. But they didn't in this game. They had a real good go. They didn't carry much of a goal-scoring threat. The goal was out of the blue. It was against the run of play. It was, when I say out of the blue, it was from a player that don't normally score goals and doesn't score goals like that normally. It just sort of sums up Barcelona's run of form at the moment. They were a better team. They deserved the win. But as you're right, it was untidy defending. They let the ball bounce in the penalty box a couple of times. Not much of a clearance. And then Guillamon smacked it in from 25 yards. So that's kind of sums up Barcelona's fortune at the moment. Plenty of shots, plenty of chances. It was a terrible performance. Probably Barcelona's strongest 11, I think, when you look at the team that lined up. So it was just one of those where Valencia raised their game, as they always do. when they play Barcelona and play Real Madrid. We look at the Mestalla away from home for Real Madrid, Barcelona, tough fixture. In recent seasons, you look at it, maybe not as tough, but it always is. You know, they raise their game, the supporters play their part. And, you know, when Valencia are in that mood, they're difficult opponents. But it's a game Barcelona should have won. It wasn't like the performance against Girona. It was the one in Champions League. It was a decent performance from Barcelona, but it lacks a cutting edge, to be honest. And a sign you see from teams who are panicking when they start shooting from distance too many times. That was the case with Barcelona in this game.
Yeah. The reference I made at the beginning to getting booked for being foul was Bellingham obviously got booked. Again, I'm not disputing either booking, actually. It's just that the whistle should have gone earlier and then you'd have headed off the descent, I think, basically. Because Bellingham threw an arm out, didn't it? So it was a yellow card. And in this, Frenkie de Jong gets his boot trodden on and loses his boot. But then he picks it up and throws it on the floor. So fair enough. It's a yellow card, isn't it? But also, I sort of got some sympathy with him because, you know, he was obviously fouled. So the story, so I don't know if it's true, you know, Deco wanting a midfielder. I'm always slightly nervous. And it's an old-fashioned notion when the sporting director wants a player, because the players, if you're buying for the first 11, the coach has got to want those players, surely.
It's a must. Otherwise, the coach might not play them.
Yeah,
you can't make the coach play them. So it's so important that they get to go. Are you referring to Giovanni Lo Celso?
Right. Okay. I didn't. Well, I literally saw. There's a story in Football España. I'll name my source. It's a good source. And Deco wanting a Premier League midfielder because he thinks there are loads of good midfielders sitting in Premier League squads not playing, and they might bring experience and physicality. So Lo Celso doesn't strike me as physicality.
No, that's the one. Xavi. I've read. Keep reading.
Yeah.
Xavi wants.
Yeah.
As a Spurs fan, they can have him.
Right.
I think he's a good player.
Yeah,
he's been at Spurs a while now. Plus, he's been out on loan, and it's not going to be a long-term player for Spurs. If you're asking me, Madison's missing. Lo Celso's had an opportunity to replace him and hasn't taken it. And there's a big difference between Madison and Lo Celso.
Yeah,
so I'm quite surprised actually that he's the player that Xavi wants. I don't see how he would fit in. I think if they were going to look for another player in midfield, it would be someone a little bit more tenacious, and as Deco says, a little bit more physical.
Yeah,
I see that as a requirement for Barcelona. They obviously don't think Romeo is the man for the job long term.
Or
short term for this season. Gavi gave them that. He's not the biggest, not the strongest. He's got a massive heart, dynamic player, tenacious. He gets about the pitch. He gave them something they don't have, and he's got the quality and skill. So if you're going to play for Barcelona, you just don't want a big lump that puts himself about. You need to be a player with the ability to link up with Gundogan, Pedri, De Jong, and play and link up with the forwards. So it's a big ask to find someone to fulfil that job. I think Lo Celso is a decent player. Probably suits him more playing in Spain than the Premier League. Probably has lost his way at Tottenham because no manager really has shown any faith in him. Hence the reason he's been out alone. Hence the reason he's back up to Madison. And even Madison's injured, he's not playing all the time. So it'd be a fantastic move for Celta.
I don't think that he adds enough, given that he is not the gap in the Barcelona makeup, is he?
No, and he's Fermín López can play that role.
Yeah, and he's not as good as the players who they've got. So why pull levers? Why you know, stretch your budget to get Lo Celso in?
And I think that's going to be the money that they've saved. They didn't want to save it, but the money that's been saved by Gavi being injured.
Yeah.
They're allowed to bring a replacement in.
Yeah.
So, but Lo Celso doesn't look like Gavi. You know, I think Lo Celso, don't get me wrong, he's not a fancy down in midfield. He can look after himself. He can be aggressive. But we just, at Spurs, we haven't seen him fulfil any particular role. And I feel maybe that would be the case at Barcelona. It's, he can link up. It would probably look better playing with, you know, Frankie de Jong and Pedri and Gundogan. He'll do okay. But I would imagine if he's, Barcelona are interested, then I think Spurs would be interested. Now, is that enough to make Barcelona contenders in the Champions League? That they're taking players off of Premier League clubs that are not in Europe that quite think, okay, yeah, you've done us a favour taking him off us. So, but it is difficult for Barcelona to aim any higher in the transfer market than what they can at the moment.
Yeah, or don't bother is the other answer. If he's not going to make you better,
I guess it was a loan.
Yeah.
If it's a loan.
Depends on how much money you're paying for him. Yeah. Yeah, I guess
it suits everybody.
Or look harder. That's what worried me most about this story. You think, well, Barcelona got into a mess because they were so bad in the transfer market and they signed terrible contracts. So they've got to get it. Part of getting out of it is not just pulling levers and you know, getting people in on loan because of the reputation of the club. They do need to be smarter in the transfer market. And if you think the Premier League is the place to go shopping for bargains, then I've got to say there's a bit of a red flag there.
And it's interesting watching the Premier League putting everyone up for sale and hoping Saudi clubs, because they think Saudi is the only place they can sell them to.
Yeah.
So that tells you everything you need to know about the transfer market in the Premier League. They're not even thinking about, oh, we can sell him to Germany and him to France and him to Spain. They're thinking, there's a list, and they're taking it out and sending a list out to Saudi to say, fence any of these players, we need top money because no one else in Europe can pay for them. So that is a strange choice. There probably is, if you look deeply in the Premier League, a lot of players that are not playing, that we've kind of forgotten about. Are they good enough for Barcelona? Remains to be seen.
Is it
could
a long,
you work harder? Yeah, definitely.
Is it a long-term fix? Definitely not.
No.
You know, getting someone in on loan who's 30 and played in the Premier League is not a long-term fix, is it? Anyway, right, Athletic 2, Atletico 0. Where's your balance on this one, Terry? Is it Athletic being superb or is it Atleti coming up short?
Both. It's both. It's very much both. I mean, Athletic are just getting better and better. The front four are outstanding, and they're a thrill to watch now. The Williams brothers, Guruzeta and Sanset, they're on fire. And there were players missing. It was an unusual midfield, but they absolutely dominated. 2-0 is flattering to Atletico in this match. It really was. Athletic was superb. And they have been this season. So I'm slightly concerned. So congratulations to Athletic. Onwards and upwards. I have said all along, I thought they had a chance of top four, and I still say that.
Yeah, well, definitely.
No, they're not involved in Europe, concentrating on this, and they've got the quality. Things have gone a bit screwy, haven't they? Because Girona, no one expected Girona to be in there. But there are Barcelona and Atleti, you have to be careful of Athletic Club. And Atleti, I'm slightly concerned that there's too many of these performances happening. They were my tip at the start of the season for the title. But I've seen too many of these performances, Las Palmas, Valencia, and now this one. But it just, they rank bad, really bad. And also my concern then is that Simeone panics, starts making loads of substitutions, taking people off at half-time, strange tactical team selections. He needs to, in this situation, Atleti need to find their feet again. They need to be consistent again. And I'm yet to be convinced that the individuals at the back are up to the job of still playing for Atleti. That's my big issue.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, Witzel signed. No one thought he was going to be centre back for 2 years.
Mm. Yeah.
Hermoso, they were keen to move on, desperately keen to move on a year ago, 6 months ago. Now he doesn't miss a game. So I think there are issues. I still think Jimenez and Savic are a must to play in the back, but they're not playing on a regular basis. And it's a weird sort of team selection from Simeone. Griezmann getting taken off early, even at 2-0. You've got to keep him on. I just see the signs of what we saw from the first half of last season under Simeone, when he was making strange team selections, he's not changing the tactics every 5 minutes, so that helps. But I think, you know, Soyuncu was the latest example. Didn't have a great first half, gave away a penalty, it was missed, and taken off at half time. So
You do need,
of panic.
Basically, if you're going to open up a little bit, you need your individual defenders to be good defenders, don't you? You're going to put more burden on them and put more stress on them in one-on-one situations. In this case, you know, chasing Nico Williams, and what, you know, which is not easily done, is it? You know?
No.
Right, we've got four more games, and in the interests of your sore throat, Terry, we're going to rattle through them. Four goals in these five games.
Yeah, you thrill a bit. Well, you can easily do that.
So I mean, I guess Celta is the most significant. I mean, moaning about a lack of entertainment, Celta games. It was a cracking goal, a cracking finish from Strand Larsen.
Yep, lovely back heel.
Yeah.
Improvisation. They deserve to win this.
Yeah.
I mean, it could have been more than one. Well, Granada had their moments. Aspas getting sent off as well for a silly challenge and then arguing. I don't know why there was any argument about that challenge. He breaks his studs down the back of the opponent's ankle. But that's for Celta's first home win of the season as well. And it is clear that they were good to watch. They weren't getting anywhere. We were saying how unlucky they were week in, week out. And in recent games, they've gone back to being, I don't want to be disrespectful, but it's a classic Rafa Benitez team in terms of being hard to beat. They're pragmatic and they're hoping that they can find a small difference to win a game.
Mm.
They're still in trouble, though. I mean, it's...
That's still at the bottom three.
Yeah, still in the bottom three, but they are level with Sevilla. So it's a big step in the right direction to get that home win as well.
Yeah, Osasuna with a 95th minute winner against Rayo Vallecano, and much needed as well, given their recent lack of wins.
Yeah, but Osasuna have been one of the disappointments this year. They draw too many games. The Arrasate has gone down that road of, let's be hard to beat. If we don't get beat, I'm doing a good job. I'll keep my job. I think they should be better than that. It's going to be interesting. I'm seeing, looking at the fixtures that are coming up for them the next game. Because there was he does lots of changes, Arrasate. And there was changes in this game where you're thinking, well, that's because they got midweek game coming up. So it's Mallorca away on Thursday. So there'll be players that didn't play for Osasuna in this game. He's got a big squad. He does use it. Not always well, but they sneaked home in the 95th minute with that one.
Yeah. Real Sociedad nil, Betis nil. Both sides hit the woodwork. Fairly even. Real Sociedad, while we're on, Terry, really unlucky in the Champions League, winning the group and then getting PSG. Which, and I know PSG aren't exactly vintage, but they've got a chance of winning it. But it's a tough one, isn't it?
It is, but they're just pleased to be in it. And, you know, it will. I make Real Sociedad favourites for that after watching PSG against Dortmund. I think that interesting Luis Enrique playing against the La Liga team as well. In this game, both it's Real Sociedad deserved to win. Betis are a centre forward away from being a decent team. It was a decent 0-0 without really catching on fire. So it was probably a better result for Betis away from home against Real Sociedad. Definitely.
Las Palmas won, Cadiz won, yet another draw.
Yep. And Cadiz deserved it. They've got so many good attacking players, Cadiz. I'm still flummoxed as to why they don't look any better when you watch them. I mean, it really is bizarre. I'm looking at him thinking, well, he's good. They've got him on the bench, centre forwards, good attacking wide players on the bench. And I'm flummoxed as to why they're not very good still. So, but they were better in this game and they did deserve, at the very least, an equaliser.
Yeah. And right, so leaves us half an hour to have a chat about Almeria nil, Mallorca nil.
And Mallorca, Almeria, I get they've got no centre forwards. Mallorca needs to do something different. They're the classic example of what we're talking about teams that draw too many games and think they're getting away with it. And they're not this year. And they did have chances in this game, missed them, didn't take them. Marici's a massive miss. Kangin Lee's a massive miss still. But they are better than we'll be seeing so far this season.
Yeah. And the Champions League draw threw up another. So Leipzig, Real Madrid, as mentioned, Real Sociedad have got PSG, and then a couple of Italy versus Spain ones, which are interesting. But you know, Inter versus Atleti. Yeah. I went into a very good team.
That's a tough game. Tough game for Atleti, that one.
Yeah, and Napoli, Barcelona. Napoli, Barcelona. Again, two teams. I mean, two champions, actual champions, playing each other in the Champions League, but sort of fallen champions, aren't they, at the moment, both of them?
Yeah, they are. I mean, let's make it right. I mean, Barcelona are drifting off of Girona, Real Madrid. It's not beyond the realms of possibility they do turn things around and make a comeback. But I don't think it's an ideal. I think it's a tough draw for Barcelona. I really do.
Yeah.
But we're talking about February now, a couple of months away.
Yeah, and March.
A lot can change from now and then. But that's. I don't think that's the draw that Barcelona would have been too pleased to get, to be honest.
No.
They'd have been hoping, as winners of their group, to face someone else rather than a team like that.
Copenhagen, basically, is the one I wanted. With all due respect to Copenhagen. Right, we'll leave it there. So it starts again. By the time you're listening to this, there are games already Tuesday night, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. We will do a podcast Friday, All Being Well with Terry, Fitting Well in Spain. And so we're not going to do anything. There's a random game Saturday. Well, it's not that random. It's the rescheduled Atleti Sevilla game. So we'll be back with another podcast later this week. Fingers crossed, wellness allowing.
My apologies to everyone.
Yes. Well, yeah. Well, take care, Terry. Get gargling is my seasonal advice to everybody. And right, take care, and we'll see you all for another podcast in a few days.